Mr. Willis, Reel 6.
And you were talking there about the Master at Arms. He was a very...
Oh, he was a swine. He was. Master at Arms Nicholas. And I think he tried to bring home some of the prison ship Penelope from South Africa, where he was the chief one out there.
What ways would this come out? What sort of actions, apart from your own, what actions would he do to kind of show that he was different? Or
he'd go around and a little thing like finding a boy in a galley and that. Things like that. And he'd make a mountain out of a molehill. I think he seemed to like trouble or causing it. Anyhow, the other chaps, the ship's corporals, they were glad to see the end of him.
They were different, weren't they?
Oh, they were, yes. Corporal Blake, Corporal Banfield, Corporal Rook. That was the three there. They divided themselves between the two ships and the Master at Arms. And he led them a dog's life. And when he left the ship, they said, "Thank God." Oh, he was a very nasty man.
And there was the other man, Merton, the homosexual. Can you tell me about that again? I think he was also a corporal.
Yeah. Oh, yes, and Merton, I forgot him. Anyhow, the first class boys, when they finished their training, they were kitted out to go to sea. That would mean to say the clothes they'd been wearing in the training ship was all done away with. And they were kitted out with new stuff to go to a ship already somewhere else. And that he was in charge of this place, what they used to call the at room. And this boy, Smith, was the one that was helping. He used to have him in there to help him stow the stuff away and sort this out, sort that out. Yes, and that was the place where he was using him as a woman. Well, he got caught. That was then. He went up before before the commander of the ship, or the captain of the ship. They went separately, of course. Boy Smith was the first one. He got his punishment. He was stripped of all he had. All he went home with was... They didn't even give the poor little devil a hat. He had no silk, no lanyard, no collar, just the jumper and the trousers and his boots. When he finished his punishment, he'd taken down the sick bay, and about a couple of hours after, he was on his way home to London. His bum couldn't have been very tender. It was very tender, I bet.
He was caned...
24 with a birch. He laid across the bits. That's where the ropes come down and tie around the belaying pins. And... he had this 24. His hands and feet were tied. He couldn't move. And the ocean plait that they had for that purpose was... a little round hole that just fitted over his bottom. And that was just the part about that much that was where the birch landed. All in that one spot. Now, when he'd gone, Mr. Merton was stood there. They took his cap off, and he took the up in the front there, the anchor and crown. on a cap ribbon. And they took that off, give him his hat back. They took all his buttons off. Took his first class V off on this arm, and the NC and the crown on this arm. Took that all off, and all he had on was just his hat, coat, trousers and boots. And then he was told what he was being punished for and what he was going to suffer, and that he was going to be put ashore with disgrace and ignominy. And the top right-hand corner in that case was cut off. That was that. And that was a sight that sickened me. Oh, well, let me say, I was only a youngster. I couldn't have been just about, let's see, November, December, January, February, March. I was only about less than a year in the Navy.
And this was all done in public?
Oh, yes. Oh, everybody, every living soul in the ship was up on the the middle deck, or where the mizzen mast was. That was the centre mast of the ship. And when that was, he was let off, took down to the steam pinnace and sent ashore, and that was the end of him. Hardly before he got in the boat, it was ship's company. Attention, out turn, dismiss. That was that.
And you felt sick and
I did,
quite ill, really.
Yeah, not for him. I thought myself, what's his wife and children going to think? Then again, I felt more for the boy than anything, because in my opinion the poor little devil was coerced or threatened, whichever you like, because naturally I don't suppose he didn't seem that type of boy. I knew him before ever that happened, Boy Smith, and he seemed to be a very nice little boy. But how nice can you be when you get hold of a swine like that little going to muck you up?
How much of that kind of thing went on in the Navy that time, you think?
Well, as regards the training ship, that was the only lot I heard of in that. But during the Navy, of course, you don't actually see it, but you know of it, and you can't say it was done extensively, but it was done.
Do you think it was often the case that younger boys would be coerced into it like that? They'd be forced to do it?
Oh, I'm not going to vouch for it. But there are not boys, but they were men in the Navy that done it. But I couldn't swear to it, because I never saw it.
It went
but
on.
You knew. And things like that, you know, the old saying, there's a rumour going around, who's putting around, oh, young so-and-so, he's an OD. Oh, my Christ. OD's rumour again. And 99 times out of every year was right. Well-known fact. Well, then we had measles aboard the Lion. They used to be inspected every morning. We generally used to get one mess or another. Well, what they used to do was to isolate these boys up to their playing field, where they built a place. And that particular mess, was isolated up there for at least a fortnight, where they were, there was a galley, trestles were put up so they could sling their hammocks, and they slept there, they fed there, and I was up there doing the cooking for a time. Then I went aboard, and my mate went up that a spell, and they were out in the field, and there was drill instructors up there, just to keep them going. But the remainder of the boys, I should say somewhere around about 700 or so, used to be landed ashore in the sailing pinnaces, and they'd go on a march. Well, before they went on the march, the day beforehand, we were up in the galley, about four of us. Four of us. That was my petty officer cook, Fred Breed and Peters. There was me and my oppo. What was he called? Very nice fellow, I forget his name now. And one from the Lion we had over. And we used to make a pasty for each boy. Meat and potato. And they get one about that long. About that wide. A good meal for a boy, and that's what they used to like. And they used to like going ashore and going on this march with this damn great pasty in their haversacks. And then at a certain place or a certain spot, which is out Prince Rock somewhere, they used to sit down, or cuppy down, as the Devonshire people say, and have their pasty. Then they'd be around there, they were allowed to have a run round and that, and such like. And then they'd march back. Oh, the band used to go with them, you know. Oh, yeah, that's what the boys like, the band.
But whichever way, it was quite a hard time for boys on these ships just the same, wasn't it?
It was hard. Boys in those days, when they left the training ship, they went from bloody hard to hard. Because a boy in a big ship doesn't even then get a soft time. Until he's made an ordinary seaman, well then perhaps things are a little better. He's over 18. He's a man for himself. Got me?
So you were well out of being a boy anyway?
Eh?
You were well out of it not being a boy?
Oh, yeah. I thought myself lucky good many times. Anyhow, it was so effective of getting out of being a boy. We had our hard times. You wouldn't think a cook could be drawn out of the forepart from the galley in the Duke of Wellington. Warrant Officer Pokey said, "Chief Cook, sir, have you got any spare cooks there?"